conversations, interviews, rants, and discussions about society, technology, food, art, culture, games, music, education, business, community building and marketing, communications, board games, old science, new cars, body piercing, body painting, competitive eaters, zombies and vampires, and more. You're listening to Talking About Everything with Harry Hawk.
Talking About Everything podcast with Harry Hawk.
All right, Michael, we're in overtime. So thank you for sticking around. I really appreciate it. But I want to shift the conversation and talk about businesses and the same kind of situation where my students may be a little bit shy or feel daunting about really putting themselves out into the world professionally and creating, curating. If we're looking at a business, small or large, how should they be thinking about the same thing that we're talking about? And you've covered a lot of the basics in the main interview that we did. But in this overtime conversation, I really wanted to dive deeper into how to shift in part from pay-per-click into cost per action. And I want to dive deeper into some of the tools and the analytics that people should be using. And obviously, at one level, they need to hire a professional to help them. But what's the process from your end? You've done this from every angle at multiple companies. What's the DNA here that we need to inject into a business?
From a business standpoint, I think where most of them are struggling is because they aren't thinking with the end goal in mind. I always, when I'm walking through them through like a proposal or we're trying to figure it out, it starts with the end goal. And then you work your way to the very beginning from there. So that's kind of my philosophy is saying, okay, what are we trying to accomplish? So is it an increase in in-store traffic? Is it new sales? And then from there, we'll start to say some benchmarks. Okay, so you need some new sales. Well, how many new sales? And then we'll start to kind of work it backwards to understand, well, what kind of budget do you need to generate that? What have you seen work in the past? And then they, you know, business owners know a lot more about their customers or their prospects than they really give on. And as you start to ask these prying open questions about them, they start revealing more and more insights. And then from there, the solution and really presents itself as to, you know, what's the best channel, what kind of budget are we looking at? But it really just starts with, like, what is that end goal? So if I was to give some point of advice, is work the equation from back to front.
All right. So I figure out where I need to go, what my objectives are. I can put together some key performance indicators, KPIs, around that. I'm going to start looking at what kind of content that I can put out there related to those goals. Obviously, again, I'm segmenting, I'm creating different customer profiles, personas within those segments, and I'm getting my messages out. And very much like what you might have said to the students a few minutes ago, when you start to see what's working, now it's time to start adding a little bit of money, a little bit of amplification. And I'm guessing that you would recommend in general, at that point, just impression-based amplification?
It depends on what you're looking to do. So if you're simply trying to get more additional eyeballs, so you're trying to get more people to see your post, impression-based is a fantastic way to do that. If you're looking to drive people to that actual website to consume the content, then maybe a cost per click basis or model might work a little bit better. And then if you're looking for like a hard action, you had mentioned that cost per action model works very well. So it really depends on your end goal. So if you're just looking for awareness, trying to reach a ton of people, trying to get them to see your brand, impression CPM based or cost per milli, which means cost per thousand, that's a great bid type.
And that can be the top of the funnel though, right? And then
very much so.
And then as we're starting to actually get a group of people coming to our blog or coming to our company's website, I can start to retarget. And I think now it's worth diving into that a little bit. I've covered retargeting quite a bit. You mentioned Dennis Yu. I did have the opportunity to interview him a few weeks ago, and I certainly want to thank him. He connected me with you, so I want to acknowledge that here. And you can refer back to that interview. It was on the FIR Podcast Network, and it will be available as episode 20 on Talking About Everything. You can really learn a lot about retargeting, but basically we're tracking who comes to our website and what parts of our website they're coming to, and then we can put targeted paid amplified messages against those people who came to our homepage, but we could put another set of messages for people who downloaded a white paper, and we can put a different set of message against folks who may have gone into our online store or may have clicked to get more information or wanted to order samples, whatever our business is. And obviously we can combine those. We can look at people who've been to the homepage and then went to the store, and we can give them a particular message. So is there something you want to add to that retargeting, or do you think I've done a good job there?
The other piece, and a little bit more nuance, is what they call a lookalike. So essentially what that means
Let's hold off on that one second. But yes, I think lookalike is critical. I know you can do lookalike on Facebook. Is it available across all the platforms?
It is available on Twitter and Google as well.
Okay.
In their own versions.
So, tell us what lookalike is.
So lookalike is essentially where you want to build, so you have an audience that has done very well for you. So either they've taken the action that you want, or they're that decision maker, or they're in the right industry, or they've spent a certain amount of time on your website. And you want to build a lookalike model. So essentially, you want to find more people like exactly like them or very similar to them. And so on each of the different platforms, there's different ways of doing that. But instead of going after someone completely cold, you can use that model to find people that are very similar. And so that will help you cost effectively reach an audience that you're hoping to find. So finding people that are very similar to your customers instead of trying to go out there. One of the most expensive things in advertising is new acquisition. Why not take your current customer base and find people who are very similar to them? It's going to possibly be more cost efficient than trying to target a brand new audience.
All right. I know two ways on Facebook that you can create a lookalike audience is to give Facebook a list of phone numbers or a list of email addresses. That's something that most businesses have. Are there other ways of doing it?
So on things like Twitter, you can drop in certain handles in there, or the same kind of concept of uploading email addresses. From Google's perspective, it's a little bit different. It's actually based on Google Analytics. So people who've actually done something like a conversion, you can build a lookalike model off of that in AdWords. It's a little bit different. So where in Facebook, you're building lookalikes based on like characteristics, it's in Google, it's more based on like search behavior as well. So there are some different models out there to play with, not to get in too much into the weeds. But it's a very powerful thing to experiment with, because in addition to that model, then you can refine it further by age or geography or by search terms. And so you can really dial it in as a marketer to someone who's very likely to interact with your brand or your product the way that you want them to.
All right. So I can do a lookalike audience. I'm based in New York, maybe in Brooklyn, and I can find everybody in the world, but then limit it to those folks in Brooklyn who are the lookalike audience. But then maybe I'm going to open a branch in a different city, open a new line of business in a different territory. I could then take all of my existing customers, so to speak, and then say, okay, find folks like them in this other territory or in this other geography.
Exactly.
Can I find a lookalike that might be similar but of a different age? Or can I find lookalike that might have other demographic characteristics?
Absolutely. So within there, with that lookalike model, you can essentially say how similar you want them to be or not. You can say a certain degree. So with that, you could say, I want them to be, somewhat similar or very similar, or just, it's somewhat similar, like kind of vaguely broad in the same territory. And then from there, you can refine it. So you could say, okay, well, I want someone who's similar, but they're this age range and they like these certain things as well. So you can really add some refinements on there, you can play with it as a marketer and really dial it into something that you feel is going to have the best impact.
Right. I want to bring this back to the funnel and back to optimize and iterate. So I'm out there, I'm putting some content, I'm getting some traction, I'm amplifying that, I'm bringing people to my website or whatever content that I own, and I'm starting to see what works. I'm getting actual, you know, conversions. People are signing up for my newsletter, but I mean, hopefully, actually, at the end of the day, I'm getting paying customers at that bottom of the funnel. But I can take either, again, phone numbers or email addresses, or you mentioned on Google, just using the folks kind of virtually who've been to the site through Google Analytics, and I can take them and I can find more of the same folks. But as I'm learning and thinking, if I realize, wow, you know, I'm getting lots of people, but the really best customers, the ones that are coming back again and again, are a little bit older or a little bit more female or are a little bit younger, whatever it is, they live in a different zip code. I could say, all right, now find me more people, but make them more Manhattan, make them more older. I'm on target here?
Absolutely.
To me, that's the process that we're talking about, that just like the students could go out there and spend a couple dollars and, you know, really promote themselves, a business is going to go out there, they're going to start bringing in people, they can leverage their existing customer base, maybe even a mailing list that they've purchased, whatever it is that they can go and find the audience that they need to be in front of. And now this is working. I'm getting in front more and more of the folks that I want to get in front of, and I'm happy with the performance. My KPIs look good. Let's say that I'm learning that I'm acquiring a new customer for a couple of dollars or $5 or $10, and I have some sense of the lifetime value of a customer. So I also have an idea of how much a new customer is worth to my business. How can I start to think about using the cost per action, the CPA?
So that's a great question. If you look at your lifetime value of a customer, then you simply just need to understand that you don't want to pay more than that lifetime value. So that's going to be your very, you know, you're going to build that kind of ceiling of the most you'll want to pay. And so that's going to help you bid towards that. So for example, if your customer's lifetime value is $100, you can't afford to spend $100 or more. You'll actually be losing money in that case. So with the CPA model, maybe you'll say, okay, maybe I don't want to pay more than $75 because I still want to make a profit here. So you'll bid on that model and say, and you'll tell that like your system in there that, hey, I don't want to pay more than $75 for this customer. And in that model, there the algorithm is going to do the hard work and try to bid and find that, you know, drive those conversions or sales or what have you under that target threshold.
Is there a way to look at all of the costs of all of the non-CPA work? So I can look at over a 6-month period, I've gotten 100 customers, I've gotten 1,000 customers, I've spent X dollars. I can do some quick division and figure out how much I've been spending per customer to get them in. Can I use some of that data as well to come at CPA?
Absolutely. So you can look at your, not to get too far in the weeds, but it's an equation called return on ad spend. So essentially it's how much did you make versus how much did you spend divided how much you spent. And so that will will give you a quick ratio saying for every dollar I spend, maybe I get five back. So that will start to paint a better picture for you as well of how much return you're actually generating today and whether you can afford on that cost per acquisition model to bid higher or to bid lower.
All right, this is great, Michael. I think we've really kind of talked all around this. I guess I want to end on just talking about budgeting. I know that at scale for the large companies, the online merchants, they do all of this optimization. They get their websites working as efficiently as possible. They know the exact audiences that they're trying to reach. And once they get to that, they're really trying to light it up. They can put as much money in as they want, and they may even just limit the amount of money to the amount of business that they can handle on a given day. I think more normal businesses, maybe looking at longer cycles of transactions and looking at different kinds of models, whether it's business to consumer or business to business. Do you have any advice as to how to figure out the right budget? I know you mentioned a dollar a day for some stuff, but obviously we're going to, as a business, we're probably going to be spending more than that, right?
Absolutely. So it's hard if you've never dabbled in digital before, but if you have any kind of historic metrics, I think that's a great kind of benchmark because you understand, okay, what's my typical cost? Like how much does it cost to drive that impression, or how much did it cost to get that click to my website? Or how much did it cost to get my that new customer? If you don't have those prior, then use in benchmarks that you already have. So maybe it's not outside of digital, but maybe it's things like print or other advertising mediums, or just overall, like what does it typically cost you to get a customer just through other means today? And then use that as a benchmark in digital. So that's how I would kind of attack it. Otherwise, if you're looking outside of like hard sales, you may just look at it as do some quick research. So things on like Google or Facebook is build out a mock campaign. If you build out a mock campaign, it will show you some relative costs. So if you're just looking to drive things like impressions, or if you're just looking to drive things like people to the website, build out that mock campaign, get a sense of how much things are going to cost. It'll tell you. So you plug in that audience in Facebook, for example, and it'll say, okay, we think you should bid between 15 cents and 55 cents. And now you have a baseline to do your budgeting.
Should we believe Facebook when they tell us that?
Well, of course, you have to take that with an extreme grain of salt. But it does give you somewhat of a baseline. I would look to inflate in certain cases just to make sure that you have enough buffer room. So I wouldn't take that as a hard and fast fact, but it will give you at least a sense in your mind of maybe the money that's needed to be allocated. So for example, like in Google AdWords, maybe you're a lawyer and then you're finding it, maybe it's going to be $25 a click. Some of those lawyer terms are very expensive. And so that kind of sets your expectations a certain way.
When I do really hyper local targeting for one of my clients, and I'm a big user of paid Facebook, I've been doing it since around 2007. I tend to get a very low cost per thousand. I'm generally just doing awareness, trying to keep this particular customer of mine top of mind. And I can get a CPM, you know, as low as 25, 30 cents, a thousand. But in there, I have this blended rate. I may at certain times in the particular campaign be spending $6, $7, $8 a thousand. But I'm coupling that with a much longer buy that I'm just waiting to happen because I don't have any particular urgency.
You're an extreme pro. So I think that shows the...
I'm not sure about that, but... I've certainly got some experience.
I think that goes back to you being a fantastic marketer. When you really dial down your audience, you really refined, maybe restricted your geo, you have a great message, all of those networks are going to reward you. So that's what you're seeing is that estimate that they may give you. Yes, they're always going to try to dig out more money from advertisers because that's what fuels their revenue. But when they find an advertiser, at the end of the day, like Facebook and all those really just care about, they want a positive user experience. So if someone sees an ad, it's not relevant to them, that's a very poor experience. So for you, the reason why they're discounting that is because it's relevant to that audience. And so you're rewarded for that. So that really speaks to you being a great marketer. And you really like doing that due diligence. So that kind of goes back to our earlier talk of doing your research, understanding your audience, and producing really great content.
Again, we have the sales funnel, our audience engagement. We're converting them deeper and deeper into the funnel. And we're using the metrics from Google Analytics and other dashboards. We're analyzing it. And then the action that we take is to fine-tune. Again, I just want to come back to one point, which again, there are times when you need to make a sale. It's a Mother's Day sale. It's a Father's Day sale, or it's back to school, or, you know, there's times that you need, you know, the action, the ultimate conversion to happen in a very narrow point in time. And then there's other kinds of businesses where the model is more open. You don't necessarily need a transaction on a particular day. Obviously, think of like the Christmas selling season versus the summer lawn care market have very different time frames. Is it worth spending more to have a greater sort of share a voice, to have a greater present at those times? Do you have any advice on how a business might structure thereby around those key critical selling periods for that business?
Yeah, I think coming from maybe like the e-commerce side, or even like a brick and mortar place that's having like a Labor Day special, you definitely want to plan your budgets accordingly for that. So if you typically know peaks and valleys in your sales season, that should be kind of budgeted as well. So if you're looking for kind of consistent exposure and you're not as seasonal, then like a smooth, even daily budget does you very well. But speaking to what you're saying is, if you have times where you're going to get the most business, that smooth and easy pacing may actually, you may not get the full potential of your sales. So you should really plan ahead and say, okay, I have this, you know, Christmas Day special, or I have this Labor Day special. I'm actually going to go and beef up my budgets then. And then maybe in January or February, I start to wean them down. So planning ahead is going to be critical there. But you're absolutely right. You know, take advantage of those peak seasons and really hit it hard. And then you'll find that area where maybe you hit it too hard and you start to hit a fatigue with your audience. But overall, though, I would say it's very smart to look at your historical kind of sales figures. And if you know that that peak season is your bread and butter when it comes to high revenue, then the advertising dollars should follow that.
Really well said, Mike. I really want to thank you for joining me on my podcast today. I got to tell you, I'm out of questions. You've answered everyone with a lot of passion and a lot of clarity. In fact, that's, you know, something I really like is when somebody else says it in their own words, I find that it really resonates even with me. Some of these things I have known about, but the way that you've described them has helped me gain some clarity on how I might describe it to others, how I might energize my students, and so forth. So again, thank you very much for joining me. Is there any other question? Is there anything that you'd like to say to somebody who's listening?
Hey, I just want to say it's an extreme pleasure. And I love, you know, talking marketer to marketer. A lot of times we can get into nuances. What I felt was very breathtaking is you took very complex concepts and whittled them down into their core in a way that I feel like the audience can best understand. So I'm really excited to see how this kind of turned out. And overall, it was a pleasure. And it's always great to talk about business in general.
Well, fantastic. And a little shout out to Dennis Yu, who put us together. And we're using some of his ideas, like you mentioned, a dollar a day. So that's fantastic. I do want to just say you can find Dennis over at blitzmetrics.com. Michael, can you tell everybody once again, I know we did it before, but where they can find you and how they can reach you? Do you want to plug anything? Please go ahead.
So you can interact with me on Twitter at LONOHEAD, or happy to send me a message at Michael McEwen on LinkedIn, or MichaelMcEwen@gmail.com. Harry, it was an extreme pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being a guest. And this is Harry Hawk. This has been Talking About Everything. We've been talking about paid amplification through social media and through search engines. There's so much more we're going to talk about, but for now, I hope you go out there and think about how to brand yourself or how to promote your own business. Take it to the next level. Don't be afraid to spend some money to help make some money. Anyway, this is Harry Hawk, and this is Ben Talking About Everything. I hope everybody has a great week. Bye-bye.
My name is Chuck Fresh, and I am being paid to thank you for listening to Talking About Everything with Harry Hawk. Harry wants to hear from you on Twitter at HHawk or HarryHawk@gmail.com. And now, a word from our sponsor, Life Extension Coach and favorite chef. Hawk Digital Marketing is focused on bringing brands and people together. We build communities of interest based on trust and transparency, where consumers and brands can converse, learn, discuss, or solve problems together, while creating a long-term connection, entanglement, between you and your customers. Once connected, we help you engage, communicate, sell, present, educate, and inform. Evolve your communications with us. HawkSocialMarketing.com.